For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. Last week on this broadcast, we began the first part of a message given by Pastor Holland entitled, Don't Put Out the Fire. Oftentimes, routine causes our relationships to become dull. This also can be true in our Christian walk. Today, we will continue in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as Pastor Holland challenges us to maintain our passion in living a Christian life.
First one we saw was rejoice evermore. That word simply means to have joy at all times. God is the same in everything that we do, and we ought to strive to rejoice evermore. Why should we rejoice? Well, Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 said that we're saved to the uttermost. Aren't you glad today that when God saved us, He forgave us? And not only did He forgive us, but He covered our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that enough to make you shout glory today and be happy that you're saved and born again and on your way to heaven? That's enough to rejoice about, if nothing else. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8, verse 17. Not only that, but we ought to rejoice today because we have eternal life. The Bible said in 1 John 3, we're sons of God. Friend, today we ought to rejoice evermore. It makes no difference what the season, what the occasion, or what we're going through, or what we experience. And God is still good. And God is still able to meet our needs. And God is still on the throne. And today we ought to rejoice evermore. The second thing, he said, if we're going to keep the fire burning, pray without ceasing. You know, today, the word pray without ceasing, someone described this as an intermittent cough. It means to pray with no break. Have you ever gotten a cough and just couldn't start coughing? Some of you ever gotten laughing and just couldn't stop laughing? I think that's the same means of what he's saying here, that we're to pray. Now, it doesn't mean that we're to walk around mumbling ourselves all the time. Truly, people would think we were strange. You know, what in the world is he doing? And by the way, I've seen people like that. But I tell you, we ought never to go very long without a word of prayer. Does it mean we have to get in the closet? Does it mean we have to get on our knees? Does it mean we have to even close our eyes? Friend, you don't have to close your eyes. Now, I think it's good sometimes to get away, get in a closet, get down by your bed or wherever you need to be. But he said, pray without ceasing. Do you know something? We've got 24-hour access to God. I thought about when I got on that plane Friday morning, I turned my phone off. And literally, I lost contact with the world until I landed in New York and turned that phone back on. And when I first did it, it was kind of a weird feeling, knowing that you didn't have access. But friend, I want you to know with God, you don't ever have to worry. You don't even have to worry about turning the phone off. You don't even have to worry about turning it on. You just know that you got access to God 24 hours a day. We find Nehemiah prayed, Nehemiah 2:4. He didn't pray out loud like Solomon did for the dedication of the temple. He didn't pray like Daniel did when he entered into the room and threw open the windows toward Jerusalem. The Bible said Nehemiah prayed silently in his heart. And God, who is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, heard and answered Nehemiah's prayer. Friends, sometimes I believe prayer may not even have to be the moving of our lips, but the very thoughtfulness in our mind of praying and seeking God. We ought to be praying people all the time. You want to put the fire out? Quit praying. Then thirdly, he said, in everything give thanks. Whoa, wait a minute. In everything give thanks? Thanksgiving should be just as natural as breathing. We ought to be grateful today. He said, give thanks in everything. The circumstance of life, no matter how bleak it appears. As people who live by faith, they should, you know, even in the silver lining or in the dark cloud, we need to give thanks. That's what I was talking about seasons a while ago. Thank God for the season. Some of you have been through some seasons. And I tell you, it wasn't until you got on the other side that you realized how beneficial they were. But what a blessing it was. Fourthly, we find he said, quench not the Spirit. Now, quench, the Holy Spirit is pictured as a fire. A fire can be quenched. How do we quench a fire? Well, literally, you can quench a fire with a fire extinguisher. You can quench it with water. Sometimes you can do it by covering it up. You see somebody burning, they say put a blanket all over them. But the word quench means to stifle, to put out, to hinder. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he can be resisted. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he can be grieved. And the Holy Spirit is a person, and he can be quenched. The Spirit of God is quenched when we refuse to honor him and allow him to lead us. He can be quenched when we despise the Word of God that we hear preached. When the Spirit of God speaks to us during a sermon, we refuse to hear his Word. If we refuse to do what we know that we ought to do, what you're doing is quenching the Spirit of God. When we allow petty differences to hinder our fellowship with other church believers, we quench the Spirit of God. When we refuse to love others as ourselves, we quench the Spirit of God. In fact, the lack of love one for another does away with the only tangible evidence that we belong to God. The Bible said this is the way that you know that we're brethren, because we love the brethren. We refuse to live in harmony with others. We quench the Spirit of God. When we tolerate sin in the church, we quench the Spirit of God. When we refuse to prove all things, we quench the Spirit of God. When we come to church with a bad attitude, we quench the Spirit of God. I see today in how the church responds to the attitude. All this and more hinders the Spirit from working in our minds. And truly today, if we do not allow God to work in our lives and obey these commands that he's given to us, what we're doing is putting out the fire. Friend, I don't know about you, but the fire of God, I want it to burn. I want to fan the flames. I want to do what God commands us to do. And the last thing I want to do is quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God departed from the tabernacle because the people of God quenched the Spirit. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 4, verse 21, he wrote Ichabod over the door. The word Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. I'm afraid today there's a lot of churches that could hang Ichabod over the door because the glory of the Lord has departed. But friend, that's because they've put out the fire and they've not done what God would have them to do. Quench not the Spirit. Then he says, despise not prophesying. I want you to know it's an honor to preach the Word of God. It's an honor to tell people what the Bible says, to confront sin. And we should fall before him in repentance. When God feeds our souls from his Word, we should rejoice and thank God for his Word. Friend, God's Word is the same today as it's ever been. But oftentimes when the Word of God is preached, we simply ignore the message that is given. And we do. We not only quench the Spirit of God, but we allow ourselves to focus our attention on that which will hinder us more than help us. True worship is achieved. We humble ourselves before God and obey His voice as revealed in the Bible. The altar is a foreign place to many churches. I tell you today, it's a wonderful thing to see people moved enough to come to an old-fashioned altar. I don't believe you have to come to an altar to be saved. I think it's important. I think if God's speaking to you, surely that's what you need to do. I don't think you got to come to an altar to pray. I don't think you have to come to an altar to get right. But I tell you what's wrong with it? If God speaks to your heart, why don't you fall on your face at an old-fashioned altar and accept the Word of God as it's given? He says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. The word proved means to put to the test. As the Word of God is taught in Sunday school, is preached in church, is extended in junior church, we're trying to get people to do what the Bible has to say. I like the songwriter's words, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Didn't the choir do a wonderful job this morning? Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I tell you, only Jesus. He's the only hope. He's the only help we have. You can try everything there is in this world, But friend, today, hold fast to that which is good. I want to tell you what's good. God is good. The Word of God is good. Being a child of God is good. Going to heaven one day is good. And I tell you, I'm going to hang on to it as long as I possibly can because of the goodness of God. Then here's another strange request. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, that is a lot more important than you think it is. The word abstain means to withhold oneself from something. And he says, withhold thyself from the appearance of evil. People said, I don't care what people think. I care what people think. And the Bible said, abstain from the appearance of all evil. And I tell you today, I don't believe we need to avail ourselves of anything. Activity can be harmful and malignant. It distorts the truth. It perverts biblical morals. But everything in our lives should point to holiness. Nothing should be done that gives the impression of evil. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I want my life to reflect Christ. And friend, when you don't care, when you do what you want to do and don't worry about what people think, you're putting out the fire. And I'm begging you this morning, don't put out the fire. I tell you today, you need to fan the flames. You need to rejoice. You need to pray. You need to give thanks. You need to quench not the spirit. You need to despise not prophesying. You need to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good and abstain from the appearance of all evil. The various things that are mentioned, verse 16 through 22, are in the proper place in our lives. The results will be amazing. Paul discusses a few of these results in closing of the verses of the book. Verse 23a, the church will be sanctified, set apart as a holy vessel. He said, "In the peace and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord." The church will walk in assurance of salvation, which will produce peace and spiritual boldness. In the latter part of verse 23 and then verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. There will be a sense of community in the church that will inform our prayer lives and produce love in our fellowship. Verse 25 and 26, he said, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. There will be a hunger to share and receive the word of God. In verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. There'll be a sense of presence and peace in verse 28. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I close the message today with just a couple of thoughts. I could ask you this morning, what are you doing to keep the fire burning? Or I could ask, what are you doing to keep the fire from burning as God wants it to burn in our life? Both the questions are valid. Every one of them we ought to answer. But what are we doing to fan the flame of God in our midst? What are we doing to quench the spirit or the fire of God in our minds? I'll leave the answer between you and God. Because truly it is.
We've just concluded Pastor Holland's message, Don't Put Out the Fire. Our goal at Victory Baptist Church is to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to encourage them in their Christian growth. Please call or write to us if we can help you in your Christian walk. If you'd like to listen to this message in its entirety, please visit our website at victorybaptistchurch.us. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.